I know Richard already mentioned it, but I want to thank everybody who worked really hard to make this morning happen in terms of getting everything out here, getting all the equipment set up, and then all of the extra work that has gone into the music for this morning. And so I just thank the Lord for everybody's participation and involvement and the effort that they have put forth. Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 12 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 28. First Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ Jesus has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence with us, your ministry to us already. We pray that as we come before your word, that you would speak afresh to us. Give us ears to hear you, hearts to receive you. May we be mindful to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, it is wonderful to be here, and it is wonderful to see you all here today. And I guess I want to kind of stop for a moment and just kind of ask the question, what's the big deal? I mean, why are you here? And I know that your first answer is to tell me, well, you're here because it's Easter. Okay, and then my follow-up question is, so what? I mean, what's the big deal about Easter? And I know that you're thinking, well, the big deal about Easter is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And you're exactly right, but I still want to say, so what? Okay, so what that Jesus is raised from the dead? I mean, help me, what is the big deal that we go to all this work, getting drums, mics, all the practices, the rehearsals, the furniture? What's the big deal? So what? Jesus was raised from the dead. Nobody's got an answer? Well, it is somewhat rhetorical, but it's funny when you start talking to people and even Christians, and you begin to ask them, what's the big deal that Jesus is raised from the dead? Have a hard time coming up with an answer. As if it ought to be an answer in itself, but it's still kind of a struggle. And so this morning I want us to think a little bit about, well, just what is the big deal that Jesus has been raised from the dead? And it's interesting to me. I was talking with a few people about it earlier in the week, kind of just asking, you know, what's the big deal that Jesus is raised from the dead? And most of them answered in terms of Jesus' death and the big deal about Jesus' death, but they really couldn't talk much about the big deal of Jesus' resurrection. And so I think this morning we need to think about that some and wrestle with that some. What is the deal of Jesus' resurrection? And why is Jesus' resurrection so important to us? And I think our passage this morning helps us with a little bit about that. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but this language of first fruits, that Jesus is the first fruits of those who will rise from the dead. Now, not a rhetorical question. Somebody explain to me what first fruits is. I know, it's the fruit that's first. Okay, but beyond that, what is first fruits? Any of you garden? Any of you have a lemon tree or something? The first fruit is that first part of the harvest that ripens. And the first fruit lets you know that there's more harvest coming. Okay, years ago, we used to have a lot of tomato plants. And, you know, tomatoes always start out green. I don't know if you have never seen a tomato plant and you just get your tomatoes at the store, you might not know that. But tomatoes usually start out green. And eventually enough sunshine will hit them and they will turn orange and red. Okay, well, they never happen all at the same time. You might get one or two or three tomatoes that finally ripen, and those would be your first fruits. The rest of them are kind of still green, but eventually they're all going to turn ripe, and you can harvest them all. Whatever the fruit is, whatever the crop is, there's always kind of a first fruit, and that first fruit lets you know that, hey, there's more to come. In Colossians, Paul talks about Jesus as being firstborn from among the dead. Okay, well, if there's a firstborn, what does that imply? Secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, that there'll be many more. And so what I think is we need to kind of pick up on here a little bit is that Jesus' resurrection means that there will be future resurrection for all of us in Christ Jesus. So while Jesus' resurrection is first and it's critical and it's crucial, it's a first fruit. It's a down payment. He's firstborn from among the dead. And so the good news of Jesus' resurrection is our resurrection. The good news of Jesus' resurrection means that death does not have its say not only over Jesus, but death does not have the last word over us. Probably need to talk a little bit more about that. It may seem self-evident to you, but there's a reason why the tomb was empty. Because he wasn't there. Okay, the body wasn't there. It really was a resurrection. It wasn't a ghost being raised. It was a real resurrection, a redemption of Jesus' body. His body was saved from death, transformed so that death no longer reigned over his body. Are you with me on that? So that it wasn't a matter of kind of a spirit coming back to life, or just a matter of Jesus' spirit appearing while the body's still there in the grave, but it was Jesus' body and all being raised from death so that death no longer had mastery over Jesus, including his body. A full redemption, a full restoration, where life reigned, no longer death. Our bodies will one day be redeemed. Right now, our bodies are still subject to death. Our bodies are still subject to decay. Right now, we get sick. Right now, we bleed. Right now, we get cacti stuck in us. Some do. but we're subject to death. But the good news of Easter is that our bodies will be redeemed, fully redeemed, no longer subject to death, but restored, renewed. Now, I don't know everything to do with that. I think about it different ways. One of the things that I am struck by is that Jesus is raised and his body still has the scars of this life. And we know from the other gospel accounts, resurrection appearances of Jesus, they see his nail-printed hands. He invites Thomas in the Gospel of John to touch him and to put his hand in his side where they thrust a spear. And so Jesus' risen body is no longer subject to death. It's completely healed, but it still bears the scars of life here. He's still recognizable. But those scars, those wounds, no longer have power over him. And so I think about us. I think about the wounds, the hurts, the scars that we have, that our bodies have. Well, I think about my mom. And many of you know that my mom died of cancer about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago now. And so on Resurrection Day, my mom's body will be redeemed. It'll be made whole, no longer subject to death, no longer subject to cancer. And yet cancer will be part of her story. Just as Jesus, part of Jesus' story is the cross and the scars from the cross, part of my mom's story is cancer and the scars from the cancer. But just as Jesus is completely healed, those scars no longer have power over him. They have been swallowed up in life. So it will be with my mom. With her resurrection, cancer will still be part of her story. There will still be the scars of cancer, but they will no longer have power over her. That death will be swallowed up in victory in life. And so I think about the different scars that we have and the different injuries and the different sicknesses. And yeah, those are part of our story, but they won't get the last word. There'll be redemption. There'll be restoration. We'll be made whole. Sister Gussie's not here this morning. But most of you know Sister Gussie in a wheelchair. Well, Sister Gussie will be healed at the resurrection day. And she'll be able to move about. She'll be whole. The wheelchair will be part of her story, but it will no longer have victory over her. She will have victory, not just spiritual over that, but she will have victory over that physically. She will have a new body, a new transformation. See, God loves us so much. God loves creation so much that God is not simply interested in saving only your soul. God wants to save all of you, your whole being, including your body. God loves the world so much, loves creation so much, that God isn't interested in just taking a bunch of souls. God wants to redeem. God wants to restore the whole thing. And so when we begin to think about the resurrection of Jesus and what difference does it make? Well, Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection of everybody that's in Christ Jesus. God is interested in not just raising Jesus from the dead, but in raising humanity and restoring and redeeming. How is it that creation got so messed up? How is it that our world got so twisted and so skewed? How is it that we end up with such catastrophes and disasters? Well, if we go back to Genesis, the world's so messed up because of sin. And it was the sin of humanity that led to the cursing of the ground. God desires to restore, redeem all of creation. And just as creation was messed up, corrupted, defiled by the sin of humanity, so God's solution is to fix humanity, and in the process of fixing humanity, that will bring about the fixing of creation. Go ahead and look with me to Romans 8. Still working on this idea about what's the big deal about Easter. Romans 8, and let's jump in at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, namely God, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, the redemption of our bodies, that's our resurrection. And all of creation is groaning, waiting for our resurrection day. Because on our resurrection day, that means that all of creation will be redeemed, will be put back right, will be made whole, will be made new. So the big deal about Easter isn't simply Jesus' resurrection. It's the resurrection of all those who are in Him, all those who follow Him, all those who have received His Spirit. Jesus' resurrection is a promise of our resurrection. But it's not even just about our resurrection. It's about all of creation being liberated from the bondage of decay. It's about all of creation being made new again, being restored, being redeemed, being ransomed from this power of curse that has been unleashed within it by our sin. Jesus' resurrection is different than any resuscitation. Jesus' resurrection is different than any reviving. You know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You know that Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, the synagogue ruler, from the dead. You know there are stories of the dead coming back to life. Some of you may have even been code blue at some point and brought back to life. There's a difference between Jesus' resurrection and simply resuscitation or being revived. The other stories of resurrection or resuscitation, it's coming back into this life, into this world, where death still reigns. It's being brought back to die again. With Jesus' resurrection, it's God's future day of resurrection breaking into the present. With Jesus' resurrection, there's no longer death. It's not revived to die again, it's revived to live eternally. It's God's future breaking into the present, and it's a promise that one day we will be raised, not simply resuscitated, but raised, and all of creation will be restored and redeemed. That's the big deal about Easter. Now, I can't stop there though. I know you smell the bacon and you wish I would, but not quite yet. With Jesus' resurrection, there's something else that's going on. God is vindicating Jesus. God is saying, this is my son, and he is the Messiah, and it is through him that God's kingdom, God's reign, God's future comes. We talked last week how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. We talked last week how Jesus is King. We have seen as we have journeyed through the Gospel of Mark the past several months that Jesus is basically declaring through every miracle, through every parable, through every sign, through every teaching, that the kingdom of God is at hand, and it's at hand through Him. That He is God's anointed one to usher in the kingdom. And we know that He was rejected, that He was despised, and that He was crucified. It was humanity's verdict, Jew and Gentile, that no, that's not the Messiah. That's not how God's kingdom come. That's not the gateway to the future. And what the resurrection is saying, what God is saying in the resurrection, no, humanity, you're wrong. That Jesus is my Son, that He is Messiah, and it's through Him my kingdom comes. And it's through Him and in Him that you have participation into that future day of resurrection and redemption, of full restoration. And so the resurrection is kind of God's amen to Jesus. That yes, Jesus is the one. It's also a vindication of Jesus' call. Not just a vindication that Jesus is the Messiah, but a vindication of Jesus' call. That if you want to have a share in the kingdom, then you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. It's a vindication that Jesus is the way to life. That this crossway, this way of denial, this way of letting go of things and relinquishing and trusting in Jesus and embracing Jesus and following Jesus, that is the way to life. And so it would be easy. It would be easy to just talk about the resurrection and what a promise of God's future it is. But you can't stop there. The resurrection is a vindication of Jesus. And that means that Jesus is the way. And the resurrection is the vindication of Jesus' call. That the way to God's future is through Jesus, and the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. And so this morning, we will take communion. We will celebrate the death of Jesus on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, because we understand that the resurrection is the vindication of what Jesus taught us and invited us to, in terms of recognizing that it's through His cross that God's kingdom comes, and it's through our receiving, it's through our participation, it's through our accepting that call of the cross that we receive the kingdom. So today, I invite you to rejoice and to share the news that Jesus is risen. And that because Jesus is risen, death's days are numbered. And a lot of times we tend to think in terms of our days being numbered, that we only have so many days here. And while that's true, that's not the whole truth. Resurrection Day, Easter, means that death's days are numbered as well. Jesus is risen, and He's the first fruits. And so because He's risen, we will rise. And all of creation will be restored. And our way to it, our way to that day, to having a share in that day, to being in Christ, is by heeding His call to receive Him and to take up our cross and to follow Him. And so I invite you to stand And I'd like our worship band to come and to lead us in Christ alone. And as they sing, but to come and sing in Christ alone, and as they sing, I invite you to come and receive the elements, receive the broken bread, receive the cup, and return to your seats, and we'll take communion together. And as you come, we are receiving Jesus. We're receiving His call, we're receiving His life, and we're receiving His hope and promise that one day we will all be raised. So I invite you to come as they sing.